Today we're going to start off with our scripture memory. We're up to the fourth commandment, and here we have a four. This is the end of a pew, and these people are sitting on a pew to help us remember the verse today. Let's say it together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How about again? Yeah, let's say the where it's found. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. One more time. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. All right. Everybody should be able to do it, right? It's not that hard. Let's say it together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Good. Y'all have that one down. Let's see if we can take it from number one. If you know them, say them with me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then today, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're doing excellent. Very good. Keep it up.
This brings on a story. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the preacher was told that this certain fella was playing ball on Sunday. Noticed he wasn't in church, so he decided to go out and see him. And he said, what's going on? I understand that you're playing ball on Sunday. He said, that's a lie, and I got the fish to prove it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Morning by morning, new reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
Sing it slowly without the music.
You alone are my strength, my shield, and you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. Glory and honor.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All hail King Jesus, forever Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity be silent and do it again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strange.
Once more with the music.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely.
Turn in your Bibles to the 119th Psalm, beginning with verse 161. Persecuted me without a cause, but mine heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 165 in particular. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today. Lord, that you would give us all the grace to be able to apply this word to our hearts and to our lives today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been discovering and understanding the purpose of God's law. And what we hope this does is the more we understand the purposes and the blessings of God's law, the more excited about his law we will be. And I really struggled with preaching this message this morning because I'm afraid that I'm going to be tested in this area. In fact, I already have been tested in this area. And I want to put out a little disclaimer here and a little warning, okay? Anybody who is spiritual, you can expect that you are going to be tested after hearing this message, okay? Just to let you know ahead of time, it might have already happened to you, all right? The title of the message is An Offense-Proofed Life. An Offense-Proofed Life. Again, notice there, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Understanding the purpose of the law produces an offense-proofed life. An offense-proofed life. I'm offended. You've offended me. I resent that. No victorious Christian should be able to say those things. The reason that we get offended, the reason that I get offended, is because I choose to. It's a matter of choice. People choose to allow themselves to be offended. Here's some characteristics of offended people: touchy, short-fused, hypersensitive, spiritually immature, and full of pride. You know that this could be a hard message today. You know that humility cannot be offended. You only offend somebody's pride. Many of our troubles come by allowing ourselves to get offended. And then pride keeps us in trouble. Only by pride comes contention, Proverbs 13:10. Pride says, I have a right to be bitter. Once that person has been offended, if they harbor the grudge of that offense, it will turn them into a dungeon of bitterness. That's what it says in Proverbs 18:19 when it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions, the contentions are like the bars of a castle. How true that is. A sure investment that will produce a loss is being offended or taking up somebody else's offense. Now, I want you to know that I'm preaching this message this morning not because there is trouble. In fact, I'm not aware of any trouble at this point, so it's a great time to preach this message. So I'm not preaching to anybody or any group of people in particular here. I am saying this: our church is growing and God is blessing, and I'm afraid that Satan might try to split it. I'm afraid that he might try to have people take up offenses and cause a breakdown in relationships. So I'm not preaching this message because I know of any offended people this morning. I'm just preaching this because God has laid it on my heart. The following story is from Dear Abby. It was a tradition in a certain family for the father and son to go and pick out the son's graduation present together. And in this particular family, the father always bought the graduating son a car. So on the day of his graduation, Bill's father gave him a Bible. Bill was upset to say the least. He threw the Bible down and he stormed out of the house. It was not until his father died that he returned home again. And while home, he was looking through his things and he came across the Bible that he was given for his graduation. As he fanned through the pages of the Bible, he found a cashier's check dated the day of his graduation
for the price of the car he and his father had picked out together. You see, offenses usually give us a loss of relationship. Offenses cause a loss primarily of relationships. 73 verses in the Bible mention offenses or being offended. An offense is a stumbling block or a potential stumbling block. The Hebrew word for offend means a means of stumbling or falling, something that trips you up. So an offense is a stumbling block that can make you fall or it can bring about your ruin. The first mention of this Hebrew word, mishkal, is in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14, where it says, Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God, I am the Lord. And the first time mishkal, or stumbling block, is translated offense, so it can be translated stumbling block, it can be translated offense. First time it's translated offense is in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dwelt well with my soul, then remember thine handmaid. Let me just give you the background for that verse. It's actually a story we discussed last week as well. 1 Samuel chapter 25. There's an encounter there between David and Nabal. And again, let me suggest to you that you don't ever name your child Nabal, because it means fool. Every time this wife called her husband, she was saying, "Hey, fool, come here. Come here, fool." And he was a fool. He was an unreasonable man. He was also selfish and he was ungrateful. You know that it's easy to get offended at people's ingratitude? Usually when you talk to people who are offended, one of the things that people are offended about the most is, you know, the person was just not grateful. I did something for them, but they were not grateful in return. And I want to tell you, it's easy, very easy to get offended at somebody who is not grateful. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 2 says, "And there was a man in Moen whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel." He had a lot of possessions. He also had a wife by the name of Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding. I don't know how they ever got together, but this fool married an understanding woman. Verse 3, it says, "Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance." She was also pretty, which didn't hurt either. But David and his men had been protecting Nabal's flocks. David sends out his men, and they request some food. They are nice and polite about it. But Nabal responds like the fool he is. In verse 11, he says, "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh?" See how selfish he is? "That I have killed for my shears and give it to men whom I know not whence they be." Should I give it to people I don't even know? Now, David had some problems we talked about last week. But David, first of all, he's upset by this man's ingratitude. We have taken care of his flocks. We have watched them. And all we asked for was a little meal, and he wouldn't give it to us. David said in verse 13, "Unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Well, word reaches Abigail about what is going on. One of the young men came and told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying in verse 14, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them." And here's an interesting conversation that takes place in verse 17. "Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Get the picture of this morning. Here is the man's employee going to his employer's wife
and calls him Belial, which means good for nothing. He's saying you can't even talk to that no good fool. Can you imagine approaching your employer's wife and talking about your employer and saying he's such a fool? That man you married is such a fool, and you can't talk with him. You can't reason with him at all. Verse 21 lets us know that it was ingratitude that offended David. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good." Abigail, being the understanding woman that she was, decided that she would do something to try to disarm the situation. So she brings David and his men some food. And then she reasons with David. Listen to the words of understanding that come from her lips in verses 28 through 30. "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel." Now verse 31, "that this shall be no grief unto thee." Don't let this situation that's happening here be a grief unto you. Don't let it be something that you regret, David. "That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto the Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dwelt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." So here is that word offense. Don't let this be a grief. Don't let this be an offense unto you, David. Don't be offended by what has happened here, by what has taken place. There's that word offense. It's the same word as in Psalm 119 in verse 165. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And then in verse 32, David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. You thank you so much for coming to me and giving me understanding. Thank you so much for disarming this situation." Because David realized that he was going to make a terrible mistake if she hadn't stopped him. And verse 38 adds to the story an ending. "It came to pass after 10 days that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died." God took care of the situation. God took care of things for David. David didn't have to. He didn't get offended. He didn't take matters into his own hands. And so God did the avenging. But Nabal's foolish ingratitude almost became a stumbling block and a means of ruin to David. That's what I want you to see today. Nabal's ingratitude almost became a stumbling block and the means of ruin to David. Now, the interesting thing is that when you read that word offense in the New Testament, it almost always means the same thing as in the Old Testament. For example, in John 16:1, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Jesus was telling his disciples, "I'm telling you these things, so when it happens, you will not be offended." Nowhere in the Bible is being offended commended. Jesus is saying to his disciples, "I want to prepare you so that you don't get offended." The Greek word is scandalizo. And it means to entrap, to trip up somebody, to stumble them, or to make to offend. We get our word scandal from this Greek word. Anytime you are offended, you create a scandal. To offend is to put a stumbling block in somebody's way. Jesus was telling his disciples what things were going to happen, and he says, "Now when these happen, don't get offended." Jesus said, "When they come to murder you, don't get offended." Here's some basic points concerning offenses. Number one, it's possible to get offended and stumble over either wrong or right or neither one.
It's possible to get offended and stumble over something that somebody has done wrong, they've done right, or neither one. They haven't done anything at all. Most statements in the Bible have to do with people being offended because somebody did something right. I mean, all you have to do today is say that unborn babies have a right to live and somebody will get offended at that. All you have to do is say that two men or two women should not marry each other and somebody will get offended at that. All I have to do is say that certain kinds of music are wrong and some of you get offended at that. It's easy to offend people nowadays. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 6 and Luke chapter 7 and verse 23. Same verse. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So Jesus said, the person who doesn't get offended at me and doesn't get offended at what I say and what I do, that is a blessed person. Do you know that lots of people got offended at Jesus? Lots of people got offended at Jesus. Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it in John chapter 6 and verse 61. They murmured at his teaching, and he said unto them, the disciples, doth this offend you? Even the disciples of Jesus got offended at some of the things that he said. Some people get offended because they are looking for something to get offended about. Did you ever notice how little it takes to offend some people? I'm going to be offended today. I'm going to pick Pastor Craig because I know there's something I can be offended about. Let's just say we're pretending today, all right? This is just pretend. And I pick Pastor Craig because I know he won't be offended. All right? Let's just pretend. Let's pretend that Pastor Craig came to me and as a new minister, he's having a hard time doing his income tax. So I sit down with him and I do his income tax for him. Now you know this is not true. Number one, he wouldn't get offended. Number two, I couldn't do his income tax if I wanted to. But I did his income tax for him. And you know, the audacity of Pastor Craig, he never even said thank you. So I'm offended. So I'm going to walk around with this chip on my shoulder. Pastor Craig, he's going to follow me around. He's not really doing anything wrong at all. He's just carrying out his ministry. He's being a good youth pastor like he's supposed to. He's following the senior pastor around. All right? But all of a sudden, Pastor Craig, without even intending to, does something that offends me. And he knocks the chip off my shoulder. Now what happens? That chip falls at my feet, and that chip becomes a stumbling block for me. My offense, what I thought was an offense, the thing that I was offended at, became a stumbling block for me. And Pastor Craig, he didn't really have to do anything at all. He just noticed that there was a chip on my shoulder, and without any intention, he knocked it off, and I stumbled at it. It wasn't his fault, it was my fault, because I was offended. Thank you, Pastor Craig. Again, it's ingratitude. Ingratitude is probably the main thing that people get offended about. And it causes, you know what a scandal could come from that? From a situation like that where a pastor and a youth pastor fighting could split the church down the middle. You talk about a scandal. Somebody said a man had to quit going to football games because he was sure every time they got into a huddle, they were talking about him. One lady said to her husband, did you see so-and-so's hat? No, I didn't. How about so-and-so's purse? No, I didn't. Well, did you see so-and-so's dress? No, I didn't. Well, a lot of good it did for you to go to church. If you're going to get offended, somebody will offend you. If you're the kind of person that is easily offended, somebody is going to offend you. You'll be offended over something right, something wrong, something big, or something little. But the verse says, nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Nothing right, nothing wrong, nothing big, nothing little. One church I heard about scheduled a swimming party. There was to be no mixed swimming and no immodesty. But the pastor had to call it off. Two families in the church got very upset about this. And they left the church because the pastor canceled the swimming party. The pastor later confessed to another pastor. He said everything would have been fine everything would have been proper. But the week of the swimming party, I learned that the man in whose house the swimming party was to be held at was a practicing homosexual. He said, I could not in good conscience let my men and their boys go over to his house and swim in his presence. I've heard all kinds of stories about the issue of the tissue. Church split over what color the bathroom tissue was to be. I heard the district youth rep, I don't know if they still call them CA reps or not, but the old CA rep, DCAP, from Kentucky speak. He said it was a church in his district, really, that split because one faction of the church said, we need a chandelier. And the other faction said, we don't need a chandelier, we need more lighting. And the church split. They didn't understand what each other was talking about. They really wanted the same thing, but they didn't understand. Number two, we should try our best to not offend others. Okay, what that means is, so I'm going to try hard not to be offended. That doesn't mean you should come up here and purposefully try to offend me or anybody else. We should try our best not to offend others. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give it unto them for me and thee. This is Peter concerned about paying his taxes. Jesus said, we don't want to offend them, so I'll tell you what to do. You know what I think this scripture is teaching us? I think it's teaching us that if we try our best not to offend people, even if it costs us something, God may supernaturally provide because of your spirituality. If you give in and you try hard not to offend, and even if it costs you something, you lose something, you'd be the spiritual one. And God will make it up to you. Give in and apologize if that's what's necessary. Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Don't deliberately cause somebody to stumble or to fall. And 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Do your best not to offend people, because you know who's going to get the blame? And the end result, the Lord gets the blame. His church gets the blame. The ministry is blamed. Especially, there is a warning in Scripture to not offend little children. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he be cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones, one of these children. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. But this passage starts out with a woe. Woe to those who offend little children. The word woe there is a curse. Cursed is the man or the woman who offends little children. Jesus said it would be better than a millstone. A millstone was a huge rock that was 8 feet around. Better that he be tied to a millstone and cast into the sea than to forgive, than to offend one of those little ones. Now, of course, there has to be a balance to all this. But we need to be careful not to offend children, and we need to be careful not to offend spiritual children. Those who have been saved only a few months or a few years. We need to be patient with those who are not as mature as others. Romans 14:21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. 1 Corinthians 8:13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. What was Paul saying? Paul was just saying, I will try everything in my power not to offend a weaker brother. I will do my best not to be a stumbling block or a rock of offense to them. Number three, try to defuse those who have been or are about to be defended. Abigail is an excellent example of this. And any time you are offended, you are on the verge of making one of the biggest mistakes of your life. Tell yourself that. When the temptation is to be offended, tell yourself you are on the verge of making one of the biggest mistakes of your life, because what you are going to do is trip over that offense. That offense is going to be a stumbling block to you. You don't need it. You don't want it. Abigail defused David. There's usually a digression here. It starts out as anger. Then we become offended. And finally, we're bitter. And bitterness will enclose closer circles to include others. Maybe your spouse, your children. Bitterness spreads. The person you are close to now, because you are both bitter at the same person, may be the next person you are bitter at a few months from now. I knew of a church, these two guys in the church, they could not stand each other, but they always got together to remove the pastor. And they were best buddies while they were removing the pastor, but they became bitter over that, and when the pastor was gone, those two guys went back to fight, and they couldn't stand each other anymore. Number four, avoid those who deliberately try to offend others. Stay away from them. Avoid them. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Number five, don't take up somebody else's offense. Don't take up someone else's offense. Psalm 15, verse 1, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Verse 3 tells us who? He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach or an offense against his neighbor. You know that it's easy to take up somebody else's offense. And there is a fine line between defending somebody you love and taking up their offense. Parents, we especially have to be careful with our children in this area. It's so easy to take up their offenses. And again, there's a fine line between defending them because you love them and taking up their offense. I would like to give you an illustration. This is an illustration of something that is very similar to what happened in a church. I need two women volunteers for this one. Do I have any women here that like to volunteer? All right, Joan. I'd like to use an older lady here, if I could. Not an old lady. I'm not saying that. I just had a couple of children raise their hand. You don't want to offend anybody. I enjoy one other person. It's just children raise their hand, and that's why I said it. Yeah. Open mouth insert foot. Okay, Nancy. There were these two women in a church, and one was a member. We'll have Nancy be the member, and the other one wasn't. And the pastor had a project that he wanted to get done, and he gave the project to the lady who was a non-member. Okay, let's say that this project is, she would be in charge of making quilts for missionaries, all right? And the member came to the non-member one day and said, what's this I hear about the pastor giving you the responsibility of making these quilts? You're not even a member of our church. And the other lady looked at her and said, no, I'm not a member, but it's not my fault. And the member said, you're just playing up to the pastor so that you will get whatever you want to do. You'll get whatever you want to get. You can do whatever you want to do. And the non-member said, that's not true. And the reason I'm not a member is because my husband won't let me. Oh, that's just an excuse. No, the reason I'm not a member, the reason my husband won't let me, is because of people like you. Hypocrites! No, yeah, these two ladies won't get offended. I think I'm safe here. There's not any resemblance to them. But the church is full of hypocrites, and that's why my husband won't let me be a member. Now, Joan is offended. Take a Kleenex, Joan. You're offended. Nancy, you're offended. Take a Kleenex. What's the first thing that's going to happen? Joan, you're blue. You're going to go to your husband and you're going to tell him your side of the story. Glenn, take the Kleenex, pass it on to your children. They're going to be offended too. And Nancy, she's going to go to Bob. And she's going to tell him, Bob, take the Kleenex. Give one to Kathy here. Kathy too. She's going to be offended too. All right, well, we've got all these people that, families that are offended at each other. But you know what? It's not going to stop there. Nancy's going to get on the phone and she's going to call her friends. And Richard and Nancy are going to be offended. Okay? And Joan's going to get on the phone and she's going to call her friends.
What are the elements of an offense-free life? Number one, these are going to be taken from Psalm 119. Dauntless in persecution. Look at verse 161. Dauntless in persecution. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. David was treated badly, and he was innocent. They have persecuted me without a cause. He had his life threatened. He was falsely accused. He was deserted by his wife, and his son led a rebellion against him. The psalmist was innocent. Offenses usually come when people think they've been treated unfairly or falsely accused. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, Jesus said. Rejoice in that and be exceeding glad. And I have to admit that's hard for me to do too. But the psalmist did not stand in awe of his persecutors. He didn't concentrate on the persecutors. This is how you can have an offense-proof life. Don't focus on the persecutors, those that did the offending. Instead, focus on God's word. He is awed by God's word. In fact, this entire chapter has to do with the law and the word of God. And in this particular section, it's the object of all in verse 161. The word is the object of joy in verse 162. It's the object of love in verse 163. It's the object of praise in verse 164. It's the producer of peace, great peace, in verse 165. And it's the producer of hope in verse 166. So remain dauntless in persecution. Number two, delighted by the prize. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You see, you can't rejoice and be offended at the same time. So he said, I will rejoice like one finding great spoil. You know that spoils of war do not come easily. They don't come casually. You know that finding precious truth in God's word takes hours of labor, hours of prayer, hours of study. And sometimes you have to go, you have to fight. You have to fight through some crisis or some trial before a spiritual truth is discovered. You know what's happened in my own life? I've gone through struggles, and during those struggles, I've found precious verses. I've discovered precious truths from God's word that I would not have learned any other way. It's like a great spoil. It didn't come easily. It came through work. It came through sweat. It came through prayer. It came through distress. But when you found it, it was so precious, that truth, you would never let it go. You would never lose it. Great spoil. The blessings of God's word are greater than anything ever taken from any battle victory on earth. Number three, direct and poise. Direct and poise, verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. He is straightforward about where he stood. Number four, devoted in praise. Devoted in praise, verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Seven is the number of completeness. He either had set times to praise God or he praised God all the time. I'm not sure which, but either will work. You cannot be offended in praising God at the same time. And then you can praise God for your critics. And I know this is so hard. And if your critic is wrong in his criticism, he has a problem. That's what you have to remind yourself. Somebody criticizes you and they're wrong, they have a problem. I don't get upset at my watch when it doesn't work. I try to repair it. And if your critic is right, however, the problem is yours. And we should be grateful that the Lord used somebody to point it out in our life. Number five, deliberate in peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's a matter of focus, a matter of focus. Peace is the result of focusing on God and his word, knowing that God is working all things together for my good. Even this criticism gives me peace. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. People who have a scriptural view of themselves are not as easily offended. That's what we need to do. We need to love God's word so much and get a proper scriptural view of ourselves to protect ourselves from offenses. Number six, dutiful in precepts, verses 166 through 168. You won't be offended by hard preaching that is biblical. You won't be offended by it. You just won't. If the pastor preaches on tithing, you're not offended at that. Pastor preaches on some sin, touches home, you're not offended by that because you love God's law. Number seven, decide to pursue the great peace of those who do not get offended. Love thy law. Love means to enjoy living it out. And the law here is Torah, God's instructions on how to live life. Act to understand what is happening instead of reacting with the emotions. Guard yourself from getting angry and bitter. Leave all revenge to God. Ask the question why. Ask the question why. Almost when anything happens, ask the question why. It might be to test you. You might leave here today and somebody might offend you. Ask why. It might be a test to see how you're going to respond to this message today. Or it might be to develop something in you. Even if your critic is wrong, there might be a tinge of truth or something there. Or there might be something that the Lord wants to develop in you. God can't use people as long as they are easily offended. People are looking for Jesus in you. I'll close with one story. True story. Walt Abbott told this story. He lived in Walnut Grove, Missouri, near Springfield. He had an altercation with
another man from the same town. Both men were Christians, attending two different churches. One of the men was a deacon in his church. Both were hot-tempered men. It was a number of years ago, and one of the men was a road overseer. The other man was a farmer. One day, one of the men sold some cattle to the other man. Almost immediately after he bought the cattle, one of the cows got sick and died. So the buyer of the cow called the seller and asked if he knew the cow was sick when he sold it to him. Well, the seller was offended and said, "That cow was well when I sold it to you. Must have been your herd that caused him to get sick and die." Well, this offended the buyer. So both men started going around town telling their part of the story. In those days, the road overseer carried a gun. The farmer was saying, and spreading it around, "I'm going to go shoot that overseer one of these days." Well, the road overseer heard that, and he said, "You just tell him to come on, that I'm ready for him, and I'm waiting." One day, the farmer showed up where the overseer was working. I'm not sure which, but one man pulled out his gun and pointed it at the other. The other man pulled out his gun and pointed it at the other. Almost simultaneously, both guns fired. Both guns went off. But both guns misfired. And so they both took aim again and shot again. And this time, both guns still misfired. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times did one of those bullets go off. They hit its mark. Walt looked at the other man and he said, "I am so sorry. Would you forgive me?" The other man looked at Walt and said, "No, I'm the one that was wrong. I'm the one that was at fault. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" The crowd that had gathered around to witness this event said, "Surely the presence of God is here." That following Sunday, both of the men went to one of the men's church. At the close of the service, they both went up to the altar. They stood there with their arms around each other. They said, "You have no doubt heard about our altercation and what has been going on. We want you to know that we have forgiven one another and we have made it right with each other. And now we want to make it right with you, and we want all of you to make things right with each other." Revival broke out in that church. Then after that, they went to the other man's church. They did the same thing. They got up to the altar, their arms around each other. They said, "We want you to know we have forgiven each other. We make it right with each other. Now we want to make it right with you, and we want all of you to make it right. The things in your life, we want you to make it right with each other." And revival broke out in that church as well. You know that Jesus died to break down the wall that was between us and him? He also died to break down the walls that we build between us and others. If you are here, there's a difference. There's an offense. There's a wall between you and somebody else. I plead with you today to let the Lord tear it down. Don't let it become a stumbling block to you. Don't let it block your path to the presence of God. The blessing of living a life free of offense, it's up to you, but it's such a blessing. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The key to an offense-proof life is your relationship to God's law. That's the key. Admiration of God's word, adoration for God's word, acclamation for God's word, and adherence to God's word. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing big, nothing small, nothing right, nothing wrong, nothing shall offend them. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? One of the hardest things to do is approach somebody to make things right when you feel that you have been wronged. That's one of the hardest things to do. I would encourage you to ask God for grace to be able to do that. Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that somebody has ought against you, leave your gift there before the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Like I said, I'm not aware of any offenses here this morning, but there might be. The chances are there are. Somebody here is offended. I want to encourage you to make that right today, because what you're doing is you're setting up a stumbling block for yourself, and I don't want that to happen. I want you to have the great peace along with those who love God's law. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands this morning, but while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe you just want to talk to the Lord and see if there's somebody else you need to talk to. Father, we pray for this man that has been offended, and it appears, Lord, that he has tripped over the truth, over that which is right. We pray, Lord, that you would open his eyes, that he would see the truth, and we pray, Lord, that you would deliver him from the pride of his heart, which keeps him in the bondage and keeps him from the truth and allows him to continue to be offended. We pray, Lord, that you would set him free today, that you would break down the bars of contention. Lord, that you would break down the wall of separation. He might be thinking he's separating himself from a person, but he's separating himself from you. Break down that wall today. May there be reconciliation and harmony and love. And Lord, for others today that need to talk to somebody or to need to overcome hurt and bitter feelings, Lord, give them that grace to be able to do that. Give them victory. Give them victory. Give them the great peace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. I'm just going to dismiss just like this. God bless you.